the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. I know we've been away for a little bit, but we're back. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. I know you used to listen to Mr. FSP. He's supposed to join me shortly. Hopefully, he does call in. But this is the FSP show, where we talk about fantasy sports and politics. The number to call in is 1-347-637-3220. I'll say that again. It's 1-347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. That's JT on this FSP. All right. We got a great show in store for you. We're going to be talking about a little bit of sports that has been going on. The NBA has been going on, but we're going to be talking mainly today. Unless Mr. FSP comes on here and wants to change the flow of this. But we're going to be talking about the NFL. And the things that are going on in the NFL. Guys getting fined left and right. Things that are, like I said, happening in the NFL. We'll be talking about that. Guys getting hurt left and right in the NFL, and it's affecting teams quite naturally. I think the last time we talked, especially on the FSP show, Ben Roethlisberger went down, and quite naturally, not so much Le'Veon Bell, but definitely affects Antonio Brown and his outlook. Landry Jones for now is the starting quarterback, and anybody in the passing game it affects. And those teams are on a bye. So we got six teams on a bye this week, and the teams that are on a bye are. Let me get there because I don't have them off the top of my head. I know there's Miami. I know there's the Baltimore Ravens, the Los Angeles Rams, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the let me get myself together here, people. I'm screwing up here. So the teams that are on bye, let's run them down again. They would be the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, the New York Giants, the Los Angeles Rams, the San Francisco 49ers, the Miami Dolphins. That's the six. Okay, so we're talking about big-name players and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, Todd Gurley, Odell Beckham Jr. Who am I leaving out here? Jay Ajayi. Those are big names that I can come off the top of my head. Okay, but this is what we got. We got teams that are playing. It's only six teams that aren't. And we got teams that are hurting for running backs. As in the Green Bay Packers are making a makeshift backfield in using Ty Montgomery as a running back. Quite naturally, even in ESPN, even in fantasy, they have him designated as a running back slash wide receiver, or wide receiver slash running back. Yahoo hasn't done that yet. On this show, we don't talk about much. We don't talk about it much on here for fantasy. We talk about winners and losers. Who's going to win the matchups and why? Now, so this is how we're going to roll. All right? Start in the start like this. Over here. Let me bring this here. Come on. My computer's screwing up here. There we go. Won't do right by me. And we're going to go like this. Bring the NFL schedule up. And for the week 8, where they play for pay, Jacksonville and Tennessee already played as usual. They played in Tennessee as usual. Blake Bortles started off like hot garbage. I told you people earlier in the season before the season started, I wasn't really confident in the Jacksonville team. Didn't think they were all that. I didn't believe the hype. I know they spent a ton of money, a free agent money that they had, on the defensive side of the ball. And was expecting, had high expectations. And right now, that team is, 2-5? 2-5. Gus Bradley's got the worst winning percentage in a league. And since he's been there for 4 years, 3.5, 4 years, whatever. And there is no improvement in sight, in my opinion. The owner had a meeting with the team. Now that is a big deal when your owner comes down from his owner's box or his office and meets with the whole team, including the coaching staff. Supposedly they said it was positive. But it's never a positive thing when the owner gets involved in trying to find out what's going on with the team. What supposedly he asked, what can he do to make things better? Now, he's already spent a ton of money getting free agents in here to try to improve the team. And from what I've seen in the game that was played this past Thursday, guys were pressing. I mean, they were pressing. Body language, facial expressions, the whole thing in the first half, the whole nine. They looked absolutely horrible. Quarterback overthrown, underthrown, whatever. He was just nowhere in sight near his wide receivers. Now, Blake Bortles is good for this. I have a stat here that I got recently, like today. Recently, which it didn't surprise me. Blake Bortles' career stats by quarter. First quarter, this is his whole career since he's been in the NFL. 1,598 yards and 4 touchdowns in the first quarter. Second quarter, 2,356 yards and 15 touchdowns. 1,912 yards and 13 touchdowns. And in the fourth quarter, 3,364 yards and 26 touchdowns. Now, quite naturally, I shouldn't say quite naturally. He doesn't have, I don't have the interception stats for those, for the, each of those quarters. But before the half is over and before the game is over, he picks up his play. Now, why he doesn't do that in the first and third quarter versus the second and fourth quarter is beyond me. And because of that, in it, that inconsistent play, year in and year out, since he's been there, the Jaguars have been a perennial losing team. Perennial. Can they turn it around? Yeah, they can turn it around. They're 2-5. They virtually have no shot to make the playoffs. Okay? They virtually have no shot to make them. You got 5 losses. You can almost guarantee that you, at least you're going to get a couple more losses before the end of the season. At least. Probably 3 more, at least 3 more losses. That puts you at 8. So that means you're going to end your season at best 8-8. At best. You're not, this year in the AFC, you're not making the playoffs in 8-8. Too many better teams that will have better records and quite naturally have beaten you will make the playoffs before the Jaguars do. So they're playing for pride, let me put it that way. And they're playing to keep their jobs, including the head coach, which I don't think, even if they come out 8-8, which I highly doubt they will keep his job along with his coaching staff. I think they're all history. And there's got to be serious questions about their quarterback. I know they love this quarterback, but he's too inconsistent. You never know from one quarter to the next. I shouldn't say that. You never know from one game to the next what Blake Bortles you're going to get. You know you're going to get a hot garbage Blake Bortles in the first and third quarter. And a Hall of Fame Blake Bortles in the second and fourth quarter. But mainly in those second and fourth quarters is because you play so horribly in the first quarter and the third quarter, and you're usually behind that you have to throw your way back into the game or try to throw your way back into the game. That's usually what happens. Just look at the history. I mean, I just told you the stats. So they played Tennessee, and Tennessee beat him 36-22, 34, whatever it is. They beat him handily. And don't pay attention to the 2-touchdown difference. This game wasn't even close. Garbage points, garbage score. That's what happened. So far ahead, and Tennessee pretty much let him do whatever they wanted to do. And they made it look respectable, halfway respectable. But this game wasn't even close. I watched this game. Wasn't even close. Maybe for those who love Blake Bortles and had him starting because it was 6 quarterbacks on a bye this week, they had him starting. But for all intents and purposes, he was hot garbage. All right, let's get to some games that count here. We got a 9:30 a.m. game in Wembley Stadium in London. The Washington Redskins and the Cincinnati Bengals. If you want a home team, the Bengals are designated as the home team. I like the Bengals here. I really like the Bengals here. I think that I don't know if it's going to be a shootout, but I like the Bengals here. I think Andy Dalton is going to take advantage of the secondary of the Cincinnati Bengals. And get the ball to A.J. Green and the touchdown maker and Brandon LaFell. And take advantage of, or try to take advantage of, a Josh Norman that's coming back from I think he had a concussion, if I'm not mistaken. Now, Matt Jones is out. Robert Kelly's going to take his place. Chris Thompson's going to be the change of pace. DeSean Jackson was limited in all practices, as usual, and he's questionable, but I think he's going to play. Jameson Crowder is also questionable, but I think he would play, and quite naturally, Jordan Reed, who was in concussion protocol for the last 2 weeks, is listed as questionable. And because of his contention, had limited practices, but had a full day on Friday. And we'll have to wait and see what happens. All right, so I think the line is like three. The over and under is like 46.5, somewhere around there. You know what? In my opinion, because I'm going to give you some lines here. I'm going to give you whether I think that they're going to cover. And I like the Cincinnati Bengals to cover. I think they're going to win by at least a touchdown in here. I know that a lot of Washington Redskins, including my son, who's a Washington Redskins fan, and Victor, who is a Skins fan, probably would go against me on this. More so Victor. I think my son is a little bit more realistic. Not a big Kirk Cousins fan. And Victor puts up with Kirk Cousins because that's the best option we have right now in the quarterback position. But I think he would pick up he'd pick up the Washington Redskins to win this. I don't think so. I think Andy Dalton's a better quarterback, Kirk Cousins, and definitely A.J. Green and company have the Cincinnati Bengals have better skill players. And for that reason, I think that the defense of Cincinnati will keep Kirk Cousins busy, and the Bengals win the game. All right, let's go to the next one. That we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 1 o'clock games. First one that I'm going to talk about should be a, in my opinion, this is probably going to be a shootout for necessity reasons. It's over, under is around 50. Dwayne Allen and Chester Rogers are out. We're talking about Kansas City visiting Indianapolis. Philip Dorsett and Dante Moncrief, who's been on his shelf since week three, somewhere around there, will play. The Chiefs are 4-2, 1-2 on the road, and Indianapolis is 3-4 and 2-1 at home. Like I said, this should be have a good amount of points, probably a close game. You know, Dante Moncrief is down back. You don't know how much of a rapport he's going to have with Andrew Luck. I really like Dante Moncrief, believe it or not, better than T.Y. Hilton in this. But most guys, when they come back from injury, it takes a game, at least a game, for them to get back into the flow. So temper your expectations for Dante Moncrief. That's in my opinion. And because of Kansas City's got a better defense, and Indianapolis has basically no defense. Unbelievable, people, that you have a quarterback, Andrew Luck. You got it. He's probably hit more than most. I think he's hit more than any other quarterback in the league. Reason why he was out a good part of last year because he was constantly getting hit, and the hits accumulated formed to sit out a good part of the year last year. But they haven't really done anything to fix that O-line for Andrew Luck and company. Now, in my opinion, Colts have one thing going for them: Andrew Luck, wide receivers. That's what they have going for them. Now, they do have some good DBs, okay? But that's about it. And if that breaks down, they don't have a pass rush. Didn't really invest in defense. Made a somewhat of an effort to try to beef up the offensive line, which is banged up. So you got Andrew Luck is trying to throw the football to win games because his defense gives up so many points, he has to throw to try to win games. You got one of the oldest running backs in the league in Frank Gore, which they really didn't do anything to get a quality back. Josh Ferguson, I wouldn't say is a quality back. And you got T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief, and this year, Dwayne Allen is banged up. You got Jack Doyle with no defense. Then you on the other side, you got Alex Smith going up against a defense that is so bad that Andy Reid's teams love to run the football and they have a feature back that they all-purpose back. And they have that. The passing game is sporadic at best. Sometimes Alex Smith is on target and can throw for three or four touchdowns. But most times it's a couple touchdowns and decent yardage, but not a lot. What do they like to do? They had Jamaal Charles. They like to feature him in the passing game and the running game. And now Jamaal Charles is banged up. They're going to use Spencer Ware. I like the road team to win this, possibly in a close one. The over-under is 50. The line is 3. I'm thinking, do I want to go with the line and say Kansas City is going to win by 3? Or do I say Kansas City stifle the Colts enough that to beat the line? Kansas City wins by 5 points. 5 points. Beats the line. And it's over 50. So I take the over, and I also take the points. I would take Kansas City by 3. I would take that because I think they're going to win by 5. All right, let's move on to the next game: Oakland at Tampa Bay. 2 gunslingers in the state of Florida. Derek Carr going up against that Tampa Bay defense. Mike Evans, Cameron Brate, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and Michael Crabtree. Who wins this? I like Oakland. Over-under is 49, which is a decent line. I think it's going to be over. I like the over in this. And I like Oakland to win it. Reason being, I think they have better weapons, more of them. Let me put it that way. I like the quarterback and the two wide receivers who are tough cover. Now you got to pick your poison if I'm Tampa Bay. Am I going to try to stop Amari Cooper or Michael Crabtree? Because if you stop one, you ain't stopping the other. And either one of these guys can go off. Either one of these guys can go off. And then you got to sprinkle in a little bit. Latavius Murray's back there and healthy now. I know that the Tampa Bay has Jacquez Rogers, Mike Evans, Cameron Brate, and company, and your little Russell Shepard, who's going to show himself. But I like the Oakland Raiders in this to beat the spread. And the line is Tampa by one. They like Tampa in this game. I say no way. Raiders are 5-2. On the road, they're 4-0. They're undefeated on the road. Buccaneers are 3-3. And 0-2 at home. I like Oakland in this. Without a doubt. All right, let's move on to the next 1 o'clock game. Polar opposites meet each other here. Seattle at New Orleans. Polar opposites meet each other. Seattle got the better defense. New Orleans has got the better offense. Polar opposites. Over-unders is 48, which is not bad. That means that it's going to be a relatively high-scoring game. And I like the over in this. Drew Brees, crazy in New Orleans when he plays. Crazy. Seattle is 4-1-1. That one tie was last week with the Cardinals. 1-1-1 on the road. Saints are 2-4 and 1-2 at home. And Drew Brees is absolutely crazy at home. He's never thrown for fewer than 3 touchdowns or 376 yards in home games. And this is a home game. He's already had 17 touchdowns in 3 games. That's about 3 touchdowns a game. Just like I said. Seattle. That means Seattle's got to play some hellified defense and to stymie the offense of New Orleans, where 3 teams haven't done that yet at home. In Seattle, struggled. Arizona, the second road game. Russell Wilson hasn't looked himself since getting hurt, smacked around. I don't know what's going on. Maybe the accumulation of injuries, and also he's expecting people. His new wife is expecting. That has thrown him completely off. Don't know. He can't run. He's dealing with injuries. He can't run. Let me put it that way. So the main thing they do is run the football. You give a pass rush, you're going to stifle what Russell Wilson can do in the passing game. I like, and this may be my bad call here, but I'm going with the home team. Going with the home team. I know it's Seattle's defense, but New Orleans is a different animal at home versus on the road. And Drew Brees is a different animal at home than he is on the road. I like New Orleans in an upset here. So I take New Orleans and the points. I like New Orleans, without a doubt. All right, let's move on to this game, which this game really scared me, people. Scares me than it doesn't. because if it goes by the trend, I shouldn't worry. Detroit Lions, who people are talking about Matthew Stafford being an MVP candidate with his play, with Jim Bob Cooter as the offensive coordinator, turned Matthew Stafford's career around since the later part of last season, and it continued into this season, at the Houston Texans. At the Houston Texans. Now, one redeeming factor, I have to say this, is the Houston Texans play, and they're following the old Jacksonville adage that you play like heart garbage on the road, and you play like world champions at home. The Lions are 4-3 on a three-game winning streak, are only 1-2 on the road. The Texans are 4-3 and 4-0 at home. Yes, I'm saying that again. They're 4-0 at home. So every one they've had is at home. Every loss they had, quite naturally, is on the road. And the on-the-road losses are horrible losses, terrible losses, not even close. But and the reason why this scares me is because they're going up against an offense that's got a lot of firepower. They have wide receivers in Anquan Boldin, Marvin Jones, and Golden Tate, and Eric Ebron, who's going to be healthy. And also, their running back in Theo Riddick, who's a pass-catching and can also run the football, but he's the pass-catching running back, who's a dynamic player in himself, along with Matthew Stafford, like I said, who's a MVP. Some people, some circles are talking about him being a MVP candidate. So I'm saying the line here is 45. Not bad. It's mid-range. It gives the Houston Texans 2.5 points. So the Houston Texans are favored by 2.5 points in this game. Lamar Miller is questionable, so it may be he's a game time decision, and it may be a Alfred Blue show, or let me put it this way. Lamar Miller could play, and if his shoulder doesn't hold up for the whole game, Alfred Blue will take over, and quite naturally, Alfred Blue is not the same running back as Lamar Miller. And there's question at the quarterback position with Brock Osweiler. So the Houston Texans are going outside first. Can't get behind this game by any substantial amount. They didn't have to rely on Brock Osweiler to bail them out. Now, I'm telling you that the Detroit Lions are not a good team defending against the pass. They're better against defending against the run versus the pass. And that should favor the quarterback. But you got six quarterbacks on a bye. Hopefully you have an ample backup. And we'll talk about this more tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Master Plan. That's me. I will be going through the fantasy yeses and nos and studs and duds, sleepers and waiver wire pickups, things like that. But this is a team that doesn't defend the pass well. I'd have to pick the Houston Texans, and I know you can say I'm a homer, but they are a different team, meaning the Houston Texans, at home than they are on the road. Jekyll and Hyde team, especially the quarterback. I mean, the quarterback's play has not been all that anyway, but he plays better at home than he does on the road, and I expect him to play better, especially against his opponent, at home than on the road. That's why I'm picking the Houston Texans. I think they're going to cover the spread. And the over and under, I got to believe it's going to be over 45. Got to believe it's going to be over 45. Detroit's going to put some points up in order for Houston to win. They have to do so also. They have to also do that. All right, let's move on to the next 1 o'clock game, which is probably one of the worst 1 o'clock games this week. In fact, I, from what I'm looking at, it's the worst 1 o'clock game this week. You guys probably know what I'm talking about already. I'm talking about the Ryan Fitzpatrick-led Jets versus the Josh McGowan-led Cleveland Browns. Jets are 2-5. One and three on the road. The Browns are winless. Winless. Last time the Jets played the Browns was in MetLife Stadium last year, and the Jets beat them 31-10. Okay, you got Josh McGowan going up against the Jets defense that is absolutely horrible on the backside. Darrelle Revis says his body is breaking down. Why would you say that? Why would you put that out there in the public, Darrelle? You can't. Unbelievable. These Jets seem like they have no brains. You never give your opponent an edge. You can get best believe they're going to go after Darrelle Revis. Your body's broken down, meaning that you got problems right now, and we're going to take advantage of it. So they have Cleveland losing this game. Jets are favored by 3. This is the Jets. You got to believe the Jets have better players. We'll win this. Or does the return of Josh McGowan, along with Terrell Pryor and Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell, and it's played in Cleveland, that the Cleveland Browns will forget their first win? Wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise me. But I can't go out on that ledge. I cannot go out on that ledge and make that, I wouldn't say bold prediction. But make that prediction. I'd have to say the Jets will beat the spread and quite naturally defeat the Cleveland Browns, who halfway through the NFL season will have lost all their games up until this point. Who's going to be the lucky one to break the streak and give at least one win to the Browns? Hard for me to believe that they're going to go the way of the Detroit Lions years back when they went 0-16, that you can't eke out one win somewhere. Ball falls your way, everything goes right, and you come out with a win. But right now, I think they go down to their 8th defeat at the hands of the New York Jets. All right, one more 1 o'clock game, which should be a halfway decent game, a replay of the NFC Championship, and both these teams, unbelievably, are not where they were last year. Not even close where they were last year, which is surprising. Panthers are 1-5. And the Cardinals are 3-3-1. Panthers in the NFC Championship last year, 49-15. Carson Palmer had a horrible day. He was Mr. Pick City yet last year. They're playing this in Carolina. Carolina's coming off a bye. Their backside defense is not what it used to be because Josh Brown. One of the reasons Josh Brown is in Washington now. The over under is 48. Carolina is favored by 2.5 points. Carolina needs this in the worst way. And five. One, and do you believe the Carolina Panthers are 1-5 when they went to the Super Bowl last year? That's unbelievable. That's mind-boggling. Cam and company got to do something here. Got to try to salvage this season. You know, put the Cardinals on the backside of a win having a winning record. 1-5. That's shake my head type of stuff. How the hell can that happen? Anyway, I like Arizona to win this. Arizona's got the best defense, the better defense. Carolina's defense is not what it used to be. Maybe they've done things to try to fix it off the bye because they're coming off a bye. Let's just, for the Carolina fans, hope so. But it's 2.5 that Carolina is favored. I can't see it. I see Arizona winning this. So take Arizona and the points, in my opinion. Take Arizona and the points in this game. We'll talk about the fantasy stuff tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here. Carson Palmer has only thrown 2 touchdowns over the last 4 games. And out of the 7 games that played, he's only had 2 times that he's went over 300 yards. He had 342 yards last week in that 6-6 tie that ended in Seattle, but he threw no touchdowns in there. Threw no touchdowns. We'll talk about that more come Sunday morning. All right, let's move on to the 2-4 o'clock games here, people. Only 2-4 o'clock games. Like I said, there's 6 games, 6 teams on the bye, so we don't have as many games as we had last week. 2-4 o'clock games, 1-8:30 game and on Sunday night, and an 8:30 game quite naturally on Monday night. So we'll go to the 4 o'clock game, San Diego and Denver. Hell of a game last time these two teams met, with Denver coming out on top. With San Diego coming out on top. C.J. Anderson is history on injury reserve. Devontae Booker will be the starter with Capri Bibbs backing him up. And the over-under is 44. Not bad. And it's listed that Denver by 6. Well, let me put it this way. Denver's not going to win by 6 points. I know they're playing in Denver. I understand that. These are division rivals. San Diego is playing a lot better than most people think, even though San Diego has a 3-4 record, and Denver has a 4-3. Denver's record. Hold on a minute. Denver is 5-2. I'm sorry. Sorry, people. I had to get that right. I didn't want to make sure I wasn't giving you false information. But these two teams play each other, and believe it or not, are pretty close. And you have to figure this. San Diego definitely has the best quarterback. Probably the best running back. And all Melvin do is score touchdowns. Had a decent passing game. Denver, and their defense is not that bad. They do have a good, decent pass rush. Pretty weak. They're relatively weak against the run. But not that bad middle pack against the wide receivers in the passing game. on the other side, Denver is against the pass. Let me put it that way. Can be run on. And their quarterback is not a top-tier quarterback. So even though Denver is 5-2, the Chargers were in a lot of games and lost a lot of heartbreaking games before they turned it around in the last few games. So this is by 6? I don't think so. You know what? I like San Diego in this game. I think they found a formula to beat Denver, and I think they can do it again. They're definitely not going to lose by 6 points in this game. No way. No. Now, I know Philip Rivers doesn't have good times playing Denver in Denver, but Philip Rivers has been balling out. And you know what? I'm going with some underdogs this week, as obviously as you can see. And I like San Diego in this game to sweep Denver. Yes, sweep Denver. That's what I like. Let me go one more time to another 4 o'clock game. This should be a barn burner in itself. Going to be a lot of points in this one. There's going to be a lot of points in this one. Got two prolific quarterbacks, and the over-under is 53. That means it's going to be a high-scoring game. Talking about Green Bay visiting the Atlanta Falcons. You think Aaron Rodgers and company have found some type of formula? Someone pointed out to me that the Chicago Bears were stifling the Green Bay Packers until the Green Bay Packers, the Chicago Bears were stifling the Green Bay Packers until the Chicago Bears defense got tired in the latter part of that game, and that's when Aaron Rodgers started racking up points. The team started racking up points and moving the football effectively. But I think they found a formula. Ty Montgomery, wide receiver / running back, used Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, and unfortunately, lesser part, Jordy Nelson as wideouts and spread and no huddle. And I think that they think they found a formula, and I think that's what they're going to do. So Aaron Rodgers threw over 50 times last week, and then he's probably going to try to do that again this week. So we're probably going to have to do it because he got Matt Ryan, who's a MVP candidate in some circles, hooking up with Julio Jones and company, and along with Devontae Freeman. They're going to rack up points. They're in Atlanta at their home digs. The Packers are 4-2 and 1-1 on the road. The Falcons are 4-3, and I know they're 1-2 at home, but this is going to be a very competitive game, and it could go either way. Atlanta's by 3, and they are on a 2-game losing streak. You know what? I'm going to another underdog. I'm going to Green Bay. Atlanta, this is one of the things Atlanta does. Start off like a house of fire and then peter out. I got a guy that calls in Nas from Atlanta that he wasn't convinced. He when they were running hot, he said, wait and see. I have to wait and see because I've seen this picture before. The repeat performance is, in my opinion, looks like it's coming right now because they're in a 2-game losing streak right now, meaning Atlanta. Going up against the Packers, I know that's home, and I know they're 1-2 at home. And over the last few years, they haven't been good, haven't been as good at home. And I got to believe the Packers want to get on some type of roll here. Packers have 5 road games in the next 5 weeks. This is the start of it. So they need to start off on a positive note, and I got to believe that they're going to beat the spread, which is by Atlanta by three, and walk away with a win. So I like the pack. All right. 8:30 game, another prime time game, big rivalry, and you got to, anybody's got a pulse and enjoy good football and want to see two young up and coming players in here and see what they can do against each other. Let me see if I can frame this for you. NFC East matchup. Okay? NFC East matchup. Philadelphia Eagles, who are 4-2, 1-2 on the road, go visit the 5-1 Cowboys on a 5-game winning streak. And these, like I said, these are division rivals. These teams do not like each other, and the fans despise each other's fans. This is a long-standing rivalry in the NFC East. And these are the only two NFC East teams. This is two of three NFC East teams playing this week. And these two are playing each other. Last season, the Cowboys won in Philly 20-10, and the Eagles beat Dallas 33-7 in Dallas. Now, and I'm not finished framing this, now you got one of the best running backs, a rookie, and a strong contender for Rookie of the Year in Ezekiel Elliott, and his rookie mate in the backfield is Dak Prescott, who's been balling out, got a 5-1 record to this day. 5-1 record. No one expected him. He came out of nowhere. I just read a story about how the Cowboys came to get Dak Prescott and all the evaluated, so-called professional expert evaluators thought about Dak Prescott and how much the Cowboys really got into and must have been impressed and really delved into Dak Prescott to see if this is what they wanted, and got a steal in the fourth round, without a doubt. Steal in the fourth round. Playing with a chip on his shoulder and playing lights out. Got the respect of the veterans. Dez Bryant is coming back. First game back from injury. Playing at home versus their heated rival, the Philadelphia Eagles, and Carson Wentz, the other rookie, the second pick in the first round of the draft. This is exciting. I can't wait to watch this. Two rookie quarterbacks. One was the second pick in the first round. The other one was a fourth round pick. Playing lights out, both of them playing lights out for the team. 4-2 Eagles, led by Carson Wentz, a rookie, versus the 5-1 Cowboys, who are on a 5-game winning streak, led by Dak Prescott. With Dez Bryant coming back. Dallas is favored by 4.5. Over under is 43.5. I like Dallas in this game to cover. Okay. All right. We got one more game on the menu here. And it's the Minnesota Vikings, who got thoroughly schooled last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, against the now Jay Cutler led Chicago Bears. Oh boy. Jay Cutler's been out for a while. Now he's coming back. First game back, he's going against one of the best defenses in the league. The only redeeming factor, he's playing at home. That's the only redeeming factor, he's playing at home. There's really not too much to say about this. Sam Bradford got exposed by the Eagles last week. And I think Minnesota is going to return the favor to Jay Cutler this week. Minnesota is favored by 5.5. The over-under is 41. Take the under and take Minnesota to cover. That's all I got to say about that. All right, people. Mr. FSP, Quentin Ashley, didn't show up, which is fine. But I ran down the games completely that I could. Hopefully, I gave you some good info that will help you decide whether you want to take one team versus the other if you're up in the air, and also with the over-under. That being said, tune in next week. Same time, same bat station, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on a Saturday afternoon, where Victor and I, hopefully he'll be back next week, will be the FSP show. And like I said, tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Standard Time, yours truly will be on the master plan. Duds, sleepers, and waiver wire pickups for next week. Hopefully you've been listening to what I've had to say, and hopefully it's been helping you win your weekly matchups and also pick up guys that up the waiver wire that can help you win your weekly matchups and that ultimate goal to get to the playoffs. Because once you're in the dance, it's up to you how far you can take it. You just got to have a chance. That's all you need. You just get in the playoffs. That being said, enjoy the rest of the weekend, and good luck in your your betting, and good luck in your matchup. See ya.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I